Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
My goodness, it's eerily quiet. Not in the text box, though. Not in the text box. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday night open forum, the thematic open forum. For every week, we present a new theme, South Cars TNT. And in all fairness to those of you in other time zones, such as our guest tonight, we'll call it the Friday night open forum. So today is September 24th, September 25th, if you're on the other side of the time zone line. This week's topic will be IRLP. And our invited guest is our very own Tony, VK3JED. Welcome, Tony. South Cars TNT is a directed public service open forum whose aim is to share collective knowledge with any and all who have an insatiable curiosity for all things. And that's all of us, isn't it? So tonight's topic will be presented by Tony, will be followed by check-ins and invited to ask questions, of course, as always. That's the open forum part of the open forum, or the open part of the open forum, sorry. And the target duration will be 60 to 90 minutes, as usual. So I will pause for 1 second. Of course, we'll be recycling every 2.5 minutes so that we can reset all the systems. This time, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or if there's anyone needing to contact another station and move off of their queue. So please come forward at this time. All right, nothing being heard. We're batting zero on emergencies, and that's just how we like it. So as I was saying, tonight's special guest, Tony, VK3JED. Tony is a South Cars member, of course. Echo 0796 is his number. He lives in very near to Melbourne, Australia. He's a very, very accomplished ham. He's been a ham for about 20 years. His radio interests include satellites, VHF, UHF, microwave, high-speed networking experimentation, public transport mobile on trains, buses, and trams. And we've heard him on trains, buses, and trams, haven't we? He enjoys contesting, introducing amateur radio to the general public and assisting people get their license. He's a self-professed Elmer or internet repeater linking, amateur radio direction finding, radio orienteering, apologies. He's active on the entire spectrum, it seems. And he's also a storm chaser, an amateur astronomer, a photographer, and he loves to keep fit and exercise every day. So there's the skinny on our friend. And with that, we'll invite you to come aboard, Tony. As I said, Tony's presenting IRLP, everything you guys wanted to know. So let's listen up. Welcome aboard, Tony. We're pleased to have you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Pete. And since it's everything you wanted to know, I'm hoping that there'll be a lot of questions. I actually don't intend on speaking very long. I'm hoping that the flow and where it goes will be directed largely by questions. While I'm talking, I'm quite happy to take questions from the Echolink text box, providing they're relevant to the point being discussed. And I usually take them pretty much as they come. Any other questions? Of course, there'll be plenty of time at the end, and the more the merrier. We want lots of questions. I'm actually going to probably diversify a bit from IRLP, although that'll be the main function. I'll start out with a bit of history, where internet linking started, how Dave Cameron and IRLP came about, and move on a bit into what IRLP is, what it does, and a little bit about setting up a node. And finally, I'll look at some of the back end. I'll continue on from where Mike left off last week when Mike spoke about the SCARS conference server. I'm actually working on the next generation of conference server or reflector, which Mike's very interested in migrating SCARS to. So I'll talk a bit about that work, which is very recent. It's only been started in the last fortnight. Anyway, before we continue, I'll just do a pause to let everything reset. Okay, just like a lot of other things, amateurs have long been frustrated by VHF and UHF and the fact that it doesn't bounce off the ionosphere 99% of the time. And Yeah, it tends not to go around the corner of the Earth, so range has always been a bit limited. Of course, in the 60s, as we know, lots of amateurs got together and decided, well, the best way to increase range is to put the repeater itself in the sky, and so, amateur satellites and the Oscars came along, which I'm sure someone is going to do as a topic for another presentation. So the idea of extending range sort of goes back a long time. The 80s and 90s, there's been various commercial systems piggybacking on commercial satellites. I am aware of a system that was up in Canada for a number of years, and down here in Australia around 1990 for a few years. During the week before Jamboree on the Air, the amateur community was donated some space on a commercial satellite, and we linked repeaters between the various mainland capital cities of Australia and also the New Zealand backbone, which was used for Jamboree on the Air for a bit, but for about a week before, amateurs got to play, and that was a lot of fun in those days. But of course, that stuff required either lots of money or to rent the space, or lots of generosity on the part of a commercial provider. So I'll break and then continue. Yeah, by the mid-90s, a new technology came on the scene. The internet had just gone commercial, and lots of people were flocking to the internet. I myself first got on the internet in late 1994. By 1995, I discovered several pieces of software, one that was well known in the amateur world at the time called iPhone, short for Internet Phone, which allowed people to speak across the internet in real time, like we're doing now. And the mid-90s, some enterprising amateurs got hold of iPhone, designed an add-on called Repeater Link, and a bit of hardware, and linked it to their repeaters, and they also allowed access from a PC, much like Echolink does. The system was a lot simpler. It didn't have remote DTMF control, although the PC user was able to link up to a repeater, and sometime around 96 or 97 I did get onto a repeater link and speak through a repeater in Texas, which was at the time quite a novel experience. So it was a little bit of fun, and talking to mobile stations in Texas from the PC was quite novel back in the mid-90s. iPhone worked, but it had a number of problems. It ran on Windows, and the Windows of the day was not the XP and Vista that we use today, which are quite good, but generally was Windows 98 and occasionally Windows 95, which were not known for their stability. So in 1997, David Cameron, VE7LTD, looked at the problem. He also saw that the repeater link system was actually quite insecure. It relied on QRZ lookups, but as we all know, anyone can look up a call sign in QRZ and type it into their client. So Dave Cameron wanted to look at a more secure system. Anyway, I'll break and let it recycle. So, continuing the story, Dave Cameron decided for stability he would use the Linux platform. At that time, I myself had been playing with Linux for about 2 years, so when I read about IRLP in the late 90s, I had no qualms about the Linux side of things. Dave Cameron also used a public key authentication system based on PGP. So pretty much a similar technology to what's used to secure bank transactions now, public key cryptography to identify the stations at each end. As long as the keys were handed out in a secure manner and not just to anyone willy-nilly, the system was secure. They've also decided that, unlike the previous repeater link system, that the only access to the network should be via radio, so if you want to get on IRLP, you use a radio. That was another one of his, part of his design philosophy. So system he put together, as I said, he called it IRLP, or the Internet Radio Linking Project. And initially it linked stations across Canada, but over the following years it caught on around the world. Here in Australia, IRLP came in early 2001, just after the 2000 Olympics. There were people trying to get it ready for the Olympics, but it didn't happen. It had just missed the boat. So I became involved not long after IRLP started over here. And it's pretty much the early history. Since then, IRLP has been refined in several stages. Reflectors came along in late 2001 to allow conference calls, or was it earlier than that? I can't. And various other tweaks have been made over the years till the point where it's a mature, fully-fledged system. So that's pretty much the history of IRLP in a nutshell. Moving on to what makes up IRLP. For those of you who are IRLP node owners, you'll know this, and so will, for the most part, Echolink SysOps. An IRLP node has a repeater or a radio of some sort, which communicates with the outside world, with the local stations. Attached to that radio is a PC. Audio is connected to from the radio to the sound card of the PC, and there's also an interface board, which a line from the squelch circuit called COS, which is short for carrier operated squelch, and a signal from the IRLP board to the radio called PTT, or press to talk, we all know that one, are interconnected. So the PC can sense when there's a signal on the frequency, and it can key the radio when it has traffic to put onto the local RF frequency. The IRLP board connects to a parallel port. At the time, Dave considered that the parallel port was the easiest and most versatile interface to use. Keep in mind that in the mid-90s, USB wasn't around, so the options were serial or parallel. And for ease of the COS input, Dave chose the parallel port, and we've been using the parallel port ever since. Inside the PC runs a distribution of Linux. Nowadays we use CentOS 4, which is the operating system, and Dave's IRLP software runs on top of that and takes audio from the radio to the internet and vice versa, and manages connections. The IRLP board also has a DTMF decoder, so it decodes the DTMF and sends them to the PC through the printer port. So users can dial up different nodes or send other commands that might be programmed into the system. From the PC, of course, there's some sort of internet connection, and the IRLP software manages or passes audio from there to the remote systems. The IRLP also remains a separate out-of-band control channel over a TCP port. This control channel negotiates the connection. It carries the PGP handshake. It for node-to-node connections, it also does heartbeats, so that if the internet drops out, the system knows to drop the connection, and it tells the other end when to disconnect. It's the control channel. Echolink doesn't have an equivalent. The Echolink does it in-band. So that's basically the inner workings of IRLP. I will say IRLP is actually about half a dozen small compiled programs, or binaries as we call them in the Linux world, that do various specialised bits. They are then coordinated by a couple of dozen shell scripts. Shell scripts are equivalent to batch files in the DOS and Windows world. And these shell scripts are really a lot of the logic in IRLP. At various points, control is passed to scripts that the node owner can modify. This makes IRLP extremely versatile and flexible. And I might talk a bit later about how far that flexibility has been pushed. The fact that the majority of it's written in something that you can play around with in a text editor leads to incredible versatility. But anyway, that's pretty much what IRLP is. And so next, a little bit about what it does. Just break and let everything reset. Okay, as you might have read on the web, a lot of this will seem very familiar to those of you on Echolink, but IRLP has two basic modes of operation. The most basic is node-to-node, which means one IRLP node connecting directly to another. And that's useful if you just want to talk to a specific person or link to specific points. Unlike Echolink, IRLP can only connect to one node at a time. That's the way the system's designed. And the original software is physically also only capable of that. There are ways around that, but you've got to use alternate software. So basically, IRLP can only ever connect one thing at a time, and node to node is used when you want to connect to a specific place or a specific station. If you want to connect to more than one station, then you have to use the other mode, which is connecting to a reflector. A reflector is basically IRLP speak for a conference server. A reflector sits on a server, such as the 9610 reflector that the SCARS conference server is on. It sits in a data center somewhere with a heap of bandwidth, as Michael will have told you all about last week, and accepts connections from multiple dozens, if not hundreds of IRLP nodes, and allows all those nodes to talk to each other. Reflectors are very useful for large nets, such as what we're having at the moment. I'll break and let everything reset. So that's basically what you can do, or the different modes of connection with IRLP. Next is if you want to set up your own node, what do you do? There are two methods. You can either go the traditional build it method, or you can go down the method of having everything pre-packaged. So the build it method's actually quite easy. You start with an old PC, and you install the PC must have a sound card and a printer port and some sort of means to connect it to the internet, preferably broadband. With the PC, you install the IRLP distribution of the CentOS Linux operating system, which is only 170 meg download from the internet. Burn that to a CD and install it as per the instructions on the website. You have to go online and order an IRLP board and cable kit, which costs around, in round figures, $100 to get all the ordering sorted out. There's a fee for the board, and there's also a suggested donation to help keep the network running, which is a one-off donation. Once you're known to the system, you can then install the IRLP software, which is a fairly straightforward download a shell script onto the system and then run it and answer the questions. Again, that's pretty straightforward. That'll get the software installed. At this point, hopefully you'll have your board by now. install the board in the PC and connect it up to the parallel port. You have to make up an interface cable to talk to your radio, and I better reset because I'm going to time out. Yeah, so you build your interface cable, get the radio connected up to the PC sound card and the IRLP board, again as per the instructions on the website, and finally just do some level checks, make sure that the radio is transmitting and receiving at the right level, and that the IRLP node can connect to the internet. If you're behind a router, you'll have to forward 20 UDP ports and a TCP port to make it all work, much like you have to forward ports in Echolink. So, again, the setup of a node in a lot of ways has, the hardware side has a lot of similarities with Echolink. One big difference is IRLP requires a COS or carrier operator squelch signal from the radio. IRLP does not use Vox, it never will, and you must have hardware signalling from the radio, which is a departure from Echolink, because Echolink, of course, allows Vox as one of its options. Once it's all set up and running, basically from then on you can leave the PC, sit in a corner and do its thing, and most node owners do exactly that. IRLP is very hands-off once it's up and running. The other method, I'll just break and let everything reset. The other method is to have everything pre-packaged. Dave sells a system called a micronode. A micronode has the IRLP software already installed, and he'll once you've ordered it, he'll build it up, configure it, send it to you, and you just have to get the get the system going, get it hooked up to your radio, and get the levels set. It's a lot more straightforward process. The micronode is a small, low-powered PC, so this sort of thing is ideal if you want to run everything off 13.8 volts or put it up a mountain with a repeater. Assume you can get internet up there, which these days is not too difficult to do. So that's pretty much setting up a node. The final thing I'll talk about is on the reflector, the node and reflector side. I'll let everything reset first. I'm not just a user. I'm, as those who know me know, I'm also very much an experimenter, and I experiment with the IRLP software. How I came to know it so well is because I literally pulled it apart and made it do things that Dave never envisaged, sometimes much to his annoyance, and sometimes it worked out to the benefit of the community. Examples of such things are Echo IRLP, where I, and several other hands, of course, Echo IRLP being somewhat of a team effort, got together and designed a set of scripts that, with the addition of Skip's package called the Bridge to allow an IRLP node to connect natively to the Echolink network and behave as part of an Echolink network. Others have spoken about Echo IRLP in various places in the past. I'm currently working on Echo IRLP version 2, which is a more advanced version. It actually replaces much of the IRLP software with another one of Skip's packages called the Linkbox, and my IRLP node is running it, so I will be using that software when we go across the question and answers in a few minutes. The version 2 gives a lot more features. I've got on board CTCSS decoding and an onboard repeater controller, which just gives me a lot more functionality for the system here. It also will allow me to connect to multiple nodes. although that's a feature I'm not going to be releasing to the general population. It'll be something that the node owner can do if they know how to do it. But I don't want to break how IRLP works in the real world. I want the whole thing to pretty much emulate what a real IRLP node does. The other part is the reflectors. As you know, this SCARS reflector allows Echolink and IRLP connections. With a bit of help from Skip WB6YMH, the author... Oops, sorry about that. I didn't watch the screen that time. Getting back to the reflector, with the assistance of Skip WB6YMH, who's the author of the bridge and the link box, about 4 years ago, I came up with a way to replace one of the channels in an IRLP reflector with a copy of the bridge, which this technique's been used since the middle of 2005 for the VoIP hurricane net, and Mike's been using it here, of course, for Michigan and SCARS. One thing I will say is that Mike pushed that a step further. I gave him a few pointers, but he nutted out the final bit to allow more than one of these integrated channels. So he's replaced the original reflector binaries with the bridge on a few channels on his reflector before I'd come up with a way of doing it. However, being aware that Dave has changed the reflector design quite considerably in recent years, and the Echolink side needed to keep pace with that change and integrate better. So I got Dave to set up a reflector a few weeks ago and started work on the next generation integrated reflector. I'll just break and let everything reset. The new system is currently on test on the reflector 9550. Some of the features the new reflector supports, of course, is Echolink and IRLP integration, just as the SCAR system supports. However, the new system has a much more advanced security model and is, in fact, even more secure than the IRLP software itself. As soon as the audio path is lost, the station or the permission to access it is closed down, and the only way the node can get back on is to disconnect and reconnect and do another handshake through the IRLP software. Also have the ability to manage IRLP nodes from the Echolink PC screen, so if an IRLP node is acting up, we can actually disconnect it using special new commands in the Echolink screen. And for Mike, this ability can also be added to the management scripts that you guys use to manage a SCARS conference. I also have a channel on test that translates between the different codecs that IRLP can use. I didn't mention this before, but IRLP can use one of three codecs. GSM, the same as Echolink, which is reserved for low bandwidth connections and for Echolink compatibility. 80 PCM, which has about 35 to 40 kilobits a second, and that's the most common codec on IRLP. And finally, MULAW, otherwise known as uncompressed, but technically it's MULAW nonlinear sampling, which is around 70 to 80 kilobits per second on the internet, and all of these codecs are used. The new reflector, channel 5 of the new reflector, is configured so it can actually transcode between those formats, which can be useful for complex interconnections. So anyway, that's pretty much the future of the reflectors and where we're going with it. That's pretty much all I've got to say. I'm hoping that people have questions, certainly ready to field lots and lots of questions, the more the merrier. So we'll put it back to our Master of Ceremonies, Pete, VE2XDL, VK3JED.
Thanks, Pete.
Wonderful presentation, Tony. It probably helps if I put my mic up and stop playing with all these buttons. Okay, you people back there, stop clapping. So with that, we'll jump to questions, but first I must identify that you're listening to the South Cars Thursday Night Thematic Open Forum, the South Cars TNT, or the Friday Night Open Forum, depending on which side of the timeline you're on. And I was delinquent in my duties as usual. I never identified myself, so I am the mystery host tonight. My name's Pete. I'm Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. I'm located in Montreal. It's about 16 degrees and 61 Fahrenheit. That's my compressed and late introduction. So we'll pass it over to, I'll take check-ins for questions right now. I was about to pass it back to you, Tony. But I will take check-ins for questions, please. And hopefully there'll be a lot of questions. I have a couple, if not, but let's start with our listeners. Come on aboard the South Cars TNT.
Six, Victor.
Okay, don't all come at once. We'll start with KY6V. Come on aboard, Gordon. Let's hear your question or comment.
Thank you very much, Pete. Hi, Tony. Gordon here, KY6V. I purposely stalled to let some of the other guys get in there first, and when it got a little long, I said, well, I'm going to jump. Tony, I've got three quick questions for you. The first question is, will the new software, when it gets all settled in, give a remote capability to the SysOp admin type for toggling the conference killer on and off? That's question number one. Question number two, sir, what is Dave and organization selling in round figures the micro nodes for? I think that may be of interest to some. You've already mentioned the cost of the boards. And question three, and my last, Tony, is we have had problems in conference killer aspects with Echo IRLP, and I'm sure that you're very familiar with that, in being able to have the server recognize that the Echo IRLP is in conference mode and take appropriate action. Will that be being addressed downstream someplace, Tony? And that's the end of my question, sir. And thanks for being here. KY6V, over.
Yeah, okay, first a correction. I used the wrong name. Dave's all-in-one system is actually called the embedded node. The micro node is done by another party. I can talk about them too, of course. But yeah, Dave's is the embedded node. Sorry about the confusion. Yeah, I'll answer that question first. I think the embedded node is around $600 or $700 US dollars. You'd have to look on the IRLP site to get a current price. But yeah, I think that's what Dave's selling the embedded node for. It's based on a mini ITX type system. Now, the conference killer, actually, the current one can be toggled on and off, but you've just got to update your management scripts. There's a file, if you grab the environment, there's a file called Echo Conf Enable, or something similar, which is a zero-byte file in the configuration directory. And you just got to locate that file and turn that and delete it to disable the conference killer and recreate it to re-enable. That's already, even in the current SCARs, that can already be done. There you go. Pete's answered I was right. So just under $700 US for the embedded node on the IRLP website. The micronode, which is an even more complete system, I said that's done by a third party. They're about $1,500 US, I think, but I believe that includes the radio and all. That's from micro-node.com. They're another party. So yeah, there's a couple of pre-done IRLP solutions. Finally, the conference killer currently is pretty much the same one as the one you've got. To fine-tune it, I need to see examples of particular problems, see if there's an easy way to distinguish between the different types of nodes. I can now interrogate the software version, so which type of software, and take action based on that. I haven't put that in the script yet, but it is theoretically possible that capability exists in the bridge and the link box. So, you know, we can probably expect that in a future revision of the conference killer. The conference killer also will come supplied with the version 2 reflector. It's more tightly integrated in, and the way the system works, everything has to be integrated. I hope that answers your questions, KY6VVK3J.
ZGL.
Yeah, hi, Mike. We'll have Pete throw it to you in just a second. Everything's answered, Tony. Thank you very much. Just one clarification, if you'd be so kind. On the script file for the conference killer, can that be directed to a sysop admin remote access, or does it have to be done at the server, sir? Over.
What do you mean exactly? You sort of mentioned the part, the script, but I'm not quite sure what you mean exactly.
What I'm looking for, Mike and I have talked about this a little bit. What I'm looking for is access from a remote sysop or administrator standpoint, remote from the server, to be able to toggle that killer on and off, sir. Over.
Yeah, that can be done. It's just a matter of writing the appropriate... I don't know if Mike knows this, the bridge, and this is how I implemented the command to control IRLP nodes, the IKIC, IMUTE, and IBAN commands. The bridge and the link box have the ability to create custom command. All you got to do is create a custom command, which will be typed in on the EchoLink client as dot whatever, that enables or disables a conference killer. It's just a matter of someone writing the appropriate script, so it can certainly be done.
Okay, that does it for me. Thank you very much, Tony. Mike, I'm going to pass it back to Pete and then let him pick you up as he... directs the show here. Pete, thank you very much for the break. KY6V, over.
Well, my pleasure, and no, don't let me interrupt. Let's kick it right over to Mike. KB8ZGL, come on aboard.
Well, thanks, Pete. Didn't mean to jump in and barge in there, but I thought I'd pass on a little thought based on your questions, Gordon. This is Mike, KB8ZGL. And now that Tony mentioned that idea of how to... just dump that file out of the environment, that'd be no problem to add that to the sysop webpage, as well as a dot command, like you said, that we could make work. So we'll make work of that. I never thought of doing it that way, but we can do it right from the webpage that you're using for the majority of the control. So we can definitely do that, and I just never thought of doing it that way. So this was good. Good thought there, Tony, and that's all I had. Nice job, Tony. Back to you, Pete. V2XPL, KBA-ZGL.
Before you take it, Pete, there is one other thing I'll mention. Yeah, if you're going to do it as a dot command, Mike, just be aware you have to do your own determination whether to use as an admin or a sysop. Obviously, for my dot commands, I've already done this, so if you need a hand with that, I've got code that'll do it.
Well, very good, Tony. I'll probably hit you up for that. And then the other thing, too, that Gordon was referring to, the Echo IRLP client, I have part of your scripts disabled. I don't query or deal with if the Echo IRLP stations come in as EchoLink clients from TBD. I don't force them to go to IRLP. I have that part disabled. And so that's what's allowing them to come in as TBD conferences and not get picked up because I have that portion of the script not set up to do that. So just some information there on what he was referring to. But that's great. We'll work together to get that implemented for the South Coast use.
Yeah, not a problem. That's why I put that check in, because knowing that Echo IRLP nodes can be conferenced, at the time it wasn't easy to detect whether they were or weren't. Yeah, that's going to be another feature of the newer Echo IRLP software, both version 1, which is the current version, and version 2, which is the one I'm working on. They'll exist in parallel. I think most people are going to stick with version 1 because it's a lot more compliant with the original IRLP. I haven't come up with it yet, but I'm going to emulate the enable or disable multi-conferencing function in Echolink so that by default when they connect to a conference, their system will be busy and they can't multi-conference. Once that gets out, then that check for Echo IRLP will be truly redundant. But all you've got to do to disable is not to find the IRLP node number, and the script ignores that. I designed that way so I could use it on pure Echolink conferences. KV8ZGLVK3JD. Put it back to you, and you can put it back to Pete when you're done.
Sounds good, Tony. That's what we're looking for. That'll take care of that issue, and we've got a couple of things now to implement as we move forward, but I think we knew we had some upgrades coming, so very good. Well, I won't hold it up on the super tacky back-end stuff. Thanks for the information, and I'm sure there's other questions out there. Go ahead, pick it up. Pete, thanks for the time. V2XPLKBAZGL.
Thank you for the clarification, gentlemen. Thanks to Gordon, of course, for the questions. And not only are we learning, people, we're witnessing history in the making, the betterment of Echolink and IRLP. So that's great. No, we don't mind the technical talk. That's what it's all about. And we're all enthralled by this. So don't be shy. Anytime you want to jump in, Mike, of course. Mike was our presenter last week. I just looked up. I forgot to tell you guys Mike's number last week, and I never looked it up, but it's Echo 0039, and that's the lowest one that I've met so far, so that's pretty cool. And not only that, yes, geeks rule indeed, Tony. And another little note, I just noticed that Mike's birthday is the day after mine, so we'll be celebrating on the same weekend there, Mike. So with that, I'd just like to remind everyone that we are recording this for posterity, and the podcast will be available, of course, in a few days on the website, so don't forget to listen to that. I listen to it every week. It's kind of neat. My wife says it's because I like to listen to myself talk, but I just like to see how I did and how I could better myself for you guys as well. So with that, I'll stop my blah blah, and I will call for more questions. Check in for questions now. Tony and Mike are standing by. All right, a little bit slow to come, and that's okay. We'll let people warm up to it. I have a few questions, actually. I'll throw them at you guys one at a time, of course. I'm just wondering, very basic question, how powerful of a PC do you need to set up an IRLP box, or how simple of one can you get? What are the basic requirements, if you wouldn't mind answering that? Over to you, Tony.
In short, much. Processor speed, well, a P100 will loaf along. There's even still the odd node running on a 486. RAM, probably a minimum of 64 to 96 meg, mainly because the newer versions of the operating system require that much RAM. The IRLP software itself adds virtually nothing. It's very, very lean. So we're not talking a super high-powered PC, and for hard disk space, 2-gig drive gives more than enough room for growth. So basically, most of us have got an old clunker or two sitting in the junk pile. Chances are that old clunker is going to be perfect for IRLP.
Roger that. Well, that makes it very accessible to anyone, anyone who's got access to a junk pile, a neighbor's garbage can, or actually the local Hamfest as well. You see a lot of older PCs there, and they always seem to get picked up. So sadly, I had two or three of them years ago that I was sitting on wondering what to do, and of course I got rid of them, and a year later I could have found some use for them, but that's always the way it goes, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who has that problem. You get rid of something, and the next day you need it. That's the way it goes. Well, I'm happy to hear that. So, indeed, very very accessible. So we'll throw another call out for questions. Come on, don't be shy, people. Let's have some questions. This is V2XPL and the South Cars TNT. Come on aboard.
Six Vector, if it's going to be quiet, I got a couple more.
Well, right on. Come on aboard, Gordon. KY6V is recognized.
Thank you. Hello again, Tony and Mike. Two quick questions. Additional, that is. You may not want to go into this in any detail, but the first question is, how is the water temperature these days between the IRL group and the Echolink group? Speaking in history, and you know all about this, it was like the Hatfields and the McCoys. They wouldn't talk at each other, and they would shoot each other before they would say anything. How has that settled, number one, in your opinion? Number two, the second question is, do you see anything in the future that will loosen the restraints of having a server not being able to connect to an IRLP station? An IRLP can connect to the server now, to the reflector, but the reflector or the server cannot connect back to an IRLP station by design and by choice. Do you see any relief in that in the future, Tony? KY6V, over.
Yeah, okay, Gordon. Well, the first question, these days, I think most people realize that, the people that use these things want to talk to their friends, whatever system they're on. I guess the advent of Echo IRLP and the integrated conferences has helped a lot. There's over 1,000 people subscribed to the Echo IRLP mailing list, so that'll give you an indication of the level of interest in that software. And they still get two or three new people every week. So that interest in Echo IRLP just continues to grow steadily. Not many people leave, but a lot of people join, and there's still occasional talk in that list. I think Mike's over there as well. Yes, there are some people in IRLP that still don't like Echolink, but they're a minority, and the way Echo IRLP and the reflectors are designed, if they don't want to have anything to do with it, they A, don't install Echo IRLP, and B, don't connect to the various channels that support Echolink, and they're happy. So most of the remaining objections, and here's a call for Echolink sysops to pull up their socks. Most of the remaining objections are not so much about Echolink, but to do with the fact that a lot of the RF links on Echolink aren't very well engineered. The IRLP, particularly the reflector owners, insists that no beeps or boops, or like hang time, courtesy time, CWIDs, basically nothing gets to the internet unless there is actually a user transmitting on the input of the system. That's the rule of most of IRLP, whereas Echolink has never really enforced that, and people have sort of slowly learnt over time. The old hands have picked it up, but some of the newer ones and some of the more vain, there's some vain sysops as well, don't adhere to that rule, and that annoys some people. And some people just have this philosophical thing about people on PC, they just want to see radio at all ends. But the majority are quite okay with either system mixing. Just a short break. To answer your other question, I don't see any change. There's nothing in the pipeline. Basically, there's no software support for the control channel. The support on the reflectors is limited to being able to authenticate incoming connections and being able to tell the IRLP node to get lost, now then disconnect. And that's pretty much the extent of the support on the control channel. On reflector, there's no support to tell the reflector to make an outbound connection. The other thing is the standard SF Reflect software that IRLP reflectors come with is physically incapable of making an outbound connection. The integrated conference with the bridge and the link box could do it, but As I said, I don't think the control channel support's there. I might have a closer look at that in case there's something lurking, but I don't think the support's anywhere near as... certainly there's none of the real-time support like heartbeats and that the no-to-no connections have. Anyway, back to you, Gordon, KY6VVK3JED.
All right, very good, Tony. You've answered both of the questions very, very nicely. Thank you. Back to you, Mr. Chairman. VE2XPL from KY6V.
Well, I thank you for your excellent questions, sir. Indeed, thanks for being there. Don't be shy. Jump in again if you got more. At this time, let's throw out another call for questions. If anybody has any questions on IRLP, setting up your own node, if you're trying to set up your own node and you need some help, now's the time. The expert is with us, so come aboard with your questions. This is Southcars TNT, and I'm VE2XPL in Montreal.
I have a question, K9ILG.
K9ILG, welcome aboard to Southcars TNT. Come aboard with your question, sir.
Yes, I heard Kent mention that there was a couple of D-Star repeaters hooked to the Las Vegas reflector. Not sure what channel it is. Is that... a very common event, or is that mainly on 9250, or probably 9251 is where they are. I don't know for sure. Anyway, what's the story on D-Star connecting to IRLP K9ILG?
Okay, now, here we open a can of worms, just make sure I got it. Yeah, there's been a lot of issues with D-Star, but most of it actually from the D-Star side, not so much the IRLP side. I don't know what Kent's doing on Reflector 9250. I haven't actually been on that box for a while. You might want to, and if they're permanent, you might want to let us know what channel they're on. I'm just curious what setup they're using. So there's a few ways it's technically feasible to hook up D-Star. The simplest way, of course, is to, instead of using an FM radio, use a D-Star radio and hook that up to a conventional IRLP node. That'll work, but there's also software ways to do it as well. I don't recommend any for other reasons, any of the software solutions, due to issues with support and ongoing stuff like that. So I don't know what's happening over there. I don't think because if you hooked up an RF gateway to IRLP, I don't see Dave Cameron having a big problem with it because... it's RF all the way. If you allowed DV dongles in, then there would be a problem because that's getting into situation like echo link. But on the other hand, if it's confined to a particular reflector channel or reflector channels, that falls into the same basket as what we're doing here with echo link and IRLP. And again, that's fine. There are ways you can do things, there are ways you can't. I should also add that hooking D-Star to legacy systems does limit the functionality of the D-Star side quite considerably, and there's only certain ways you can do it. Hope that answers, well, as best I can answer your question, I need to have a look myself. You got me curious now. Back to you, VK3JED.
Well, he was talking to... KD5AR, and apparently it's a couple of California D-Star repeaters. I haven't heard them on, but as far as I know, it would have been Channel Zero because he didn't tell Brad to go, to a Channel One. I know he's got experimental stuff on Channel One, and then what is it, 7 and 8 on 9250 are Echo and IRLP. So anyway, that's about all I know for sure. Just, you know, I like to go fishing. You can't fish without worms. Okay. Now we got a whole can of them. K9ILG. Good to hear you, Tony, and Jordan, and everybody else.
Yeah, well, you got me curious. As Mike said, experimental channels are the best way to play. I didn't get to say in my talk, but IRLP, for people like Mike and myself, IRLP has specially created the concept of an experimental node, which basically is just an entry in one of the node tables with a number and the parameters to connect to it. And node owners have to allow connections to experimental systems. And basically, on our side, we can run whatever we like. It's open flavour. Yeah, node owners connect at their own risk, but the actual experimental node can be any piece of software or hardware that we like. I have one, and I think Mike has one. So, we can basically do what we like to them. Dave's given us our real little playground for doing stuff that wouldn't be acceptable on the rest of the network. Anyway, I'll put it back to Pete, VE2XBL, VK3JED.
Oh, roger that. Thank you very much. Thanks for the question and thanks for the answer. I don't know if K9ILG, I looked that up as George or Bud. I don't know if you prefer one or the other, but do you have another question or comment, sir? Come aboard.
Well, the only time anybody ever called me George was when I'm in trouble, so Bud would probably be preferable. And I guess you already know that South Cars number is E0087. And I've been here in South Cars, by the way, on 40 meters every morning, coming in actually better than mid cars. K9ILG.
Oh, roger that. Propagation into Indianapolis, Indiana. Excellent. That's a great report as well. Yeah, another, Tony says, all the low numbers are coming out to play tonight. That's most excellent indeed. So we have Mike in there, Echo 0039, and yourself, who I don't believe I've met before. So the pleasure is all mine, sir. And Bud, it will be. You are certainly not in trouble here. Mike might have a comment. You want to come aboard with a comment on D-Star, Mike? Over.
Well, hopefully you can hear me here, Pete. I thought maybe some people would be interested in listening to someone come in from D-Star. I'm actually on a D-Star handheld right now through the KBAZGL D-Star repeater, and I have some software in the background there just to further open a can of worms for fun. For those that are interested in hearing how it sounds, this is D-Star Audio. Go back to you, Pete, VE2XPO, KBAZGL.
Wow, excellent. What a treat. What a treat. We got a little bit of a little bit of a preview there. That's great. Yeah, you can tell it comes across very, very well. Yeah, Tony agrees. It comes across most excellently. You can hear that it's digitized sound, at least I could. I don't know if it's just my audio, but it doesn't make the sound certainly doesn't make it hard to listen to or difficult to understand. That was perfect, but you can hear a little bit of digitization. Heavy compression is what Tony says in the text box there. So, that's a neat demonstration indeed. Thanks for that, Mike. I appreciate that. I didn't actually realize that you were connected via D-Star but I guess I should have listened last week, paid more attention. My bad. So with that, we'll carry on. We're just past the 60-minute mark. We're at 63 minutes, 5 seconds, so we're doing very well and most interesting indeed. Still have over 20 stations connected, so the interest is there. I'd like to invite you guys to come aboard for questions, of course. It's your open forum, and I'm sure you're wondering about something out there. So come on aboard with questions. We're taking check-ins right now. South Cars TNT. Well, in that case, I'll come aboard with a couple more jotted down there. I'm not sure if I should go with the techie question or the philosophical question first. Well, we'll go with the techie question is Echo IRLP. I was wondering, one, if that's Linux-based or if it's PC-based, or if you have the option, if you can set it up on both. And is it an easy setup? Is it as easy to set up as the IRLP or the Echolink software? I guess I'll throw it over to Tony, VK3JED.
Hey, to answer your question, you need an IRLP node to start with because it's the only thing that can talk to an IRLP node is another IRLP node due to the strict authentication scheme that IRLP uses. We're using a specially modified version of PGP. So you start with an IRLP node, you get that working. Once you've got the IRLP node working 100%, you go to the Echo IRLP Yahoo group and you download the installer. You run the installer, answer a few simple questions, and within a few minutes, you're up and running on Echo IRLP, and you should be logged into Echolink by the, or once you've restarted the node software, you then should be logged into Echolink and can talk on either network. So that's pretty much how easy it is, Pete. But you do have to start with an IRLP node. You can't do it from a Windows PC. And Echo IRLP, of course, being an IRLP node, has to be hooked up to a radio, but it will... make connections to or receive connections from PC users unless the node owner chooses not to allow that. But by default, it allows connections from all Echolink nodes, VE2XBL with K3JED.
Ah, cool. Very good. Well, thanks for the clarification on my part. I misunderstood that part of the presentation. I thought that it was a separate software altogether, but it's kind of like a bridging or a linking software, if I understand properly. Is that correct?
Well, internally, that's exactly what it does. It acts as a bridge or a translator between IRLP and Echolink. It lives on the node itself. The node uses its IRLP software to talk to the radio. That software, instead of connecting to an IRLP node, connects to a local copy of the bridge running on that PC. And then that copy of the bridge makes the actual Echolink connection to the outside world. And there's a whole bunch of scripts that manage the interaction between that and the rest of the node. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Oh, very good, very good. You're tempting me more and more. I've been wanting to build a Linux box for a long time. I've been hearing various things about the various flavors of Linux. CentOS, you talk about. I hear a lot about Ubuntu and some other versions and people doing this and that. And I just like to play around, so I can find an old box. I guess I'll set myself up. And it sounds like there's a good network of support if you do decide to experiment with this. You mentioned the Yahoo group, who are probably there to support you. And I'm sure I know the Echolink website is quite good with their literature, and there's a lot of help out there. And I'm assuming that the IRLP people are quite just as supportive. Back to you.
Yeah, there's a pretty good group for pure IRLP. And you should be able to Google it, but that one. Let me fix that. I do that sometimes, particularly when I'm doing two things at once. It's groups.yahoo.com/group/IRLP is the IRLP Yahoo group. The second one's the correct one. So groups.yahoo.com/group/IRLP. And Echo IRLP is similar, groups.yahoo.com/group/Echo IRLP. Is the Echo IRLP, so I'll put that one in as well. We've got four fingers here. I've got 10 thumbs, I think. So there's the Echo IRLP. Replace the IRLP with Echo IRLP, and you've got the Echo IRLP group. And both of them have good support. The IRLP group's a pure IRLP native, unadulterated, and Echo IRLP for the Echo IRLP add-on. Although there's a lot of IRLP, general IRLP knowledge in there as well. So they're the places to go. You don't have to be a node owner to join either group. You can join them right now if you want. As long as you're, despite what the blurb on the Echo IRLP group says, since I approve all applications, I only looked at you're a ham. So if I can see that you're a ham, and you know what's going, you know what it is, I'll let you in. Simple as that. So if you want to read up by the group, and the IRLP group's open access, so you can just join that. So if you want to read either group, go right ahead. VE2XBL, VK3JD.
Perfect, sounds good. Well, I just happen to be going to a ham fest on the weekend, so might just be looking for an old computer kicking around under your table somewhere that I could pick up cheap. I keep finding them in the garbage, but they don't work. I don't know why people throw away things that don't work. I just fix them. But that's the difference between hams and the rest of the world, I guess. That's what makes us who we are. Well, thanks for that clarification, the specification. I think that's excellent. Sounds real easy. There's good support. And we have support right here. We have our Elmer Tony with us on a regular basis if we need help. So I encourage everybody to try it. I think experimentation is how we got to where we are today. And definitely Mike and Tony are experimenting all the time and improving the hobby. So we thank you guys for that, by the way. We know you have great fun doing it. And that's very, very cool. So let's continue. Let's call out for more questions. Is there anybody out there? This is South Cars TNT. Come aboard with your questions about IRLP.
November 2, Mike Hotel.
November 2, Mike Hotel. Come aboard. South Cars TNT.
Yeah, good evening, Pete, and good morning to you, Tony. Tony, I have a couple of questions for you. I believe at one time, if one wanted to install your scripts and whatever else was needed, there was some reluctance on the part of the IRLP support staff to support that node. Is that situation still in effect, or has that changed?
Yeah, that is correct, and with very good reason. And the reason is that the IRLP, we're not talking about the general community, but the actual installs team that do the real tricky ones, they don't necessarily know Echo IRLP, and it does make some significant changes. So because it's not a standard part of IRLP, and this goes for any other add-on too, it's not supported. However, and the way around that problem that is always recommended is that when you install your node, you install it, you take a backup of it. There's a backup for reinstall script made just for that. And then you install Echo IRLP after, so that if you really mess up your node, you can go back to the backup and roll it back to standard IRLP. And if it's still not working after it's been rolled back to standard, then you call on the installs team to fix whatever problem you got. And then once they've fixed it, you go back and put Echo IRLP back on. The other alternative, of course, is to rely on a combination of your own skills and the support of the Echo IRLP Yahoo group. There's usually someone in the Yahoo group that be able to give you a hand. So one way or the other, you'll find a way to get support, just you won't get support from the installs team. And that's quite understandable. It's like asking the Echolink support team to fix your copy of Echo Producer, which of course is an add-on. Back to you, VK3JD.
For that answer. Yeah, it is understandable. But I thought with Echo IRLP becoming a little bit more, common may not be the word, but more out there, they may have become a little bit more familiar with it. The second question had to do with rollback. If one had Echo IRLP and wanted to roll it back for whatever reason, how was that done?
Yeah, well, if you went the way I said and you installed your node, to get it, just as an IRLP note only, you get it up and running, then you take it back up. Well, you can easily roll it back by deleting the IRLP directory tree and doing the restore from backup procedure, which is documented on the IRLP website. If you hadn't done that, you can roll it back, but you basically you have to change several. There's about four or five places you've got to remove Echo IRLP related entries out of some of the custom scripts, custom on, custom off, environment, to name a few. Have to have lines manually removed, and then that'll roll it back. But that's the other way. So you can do it manually. You just got to know where to look, and custom decode. You've also got to change too. Back to you.
Okay, that pretty well explains it. And I never thought about the going back to just reinstalling your node from the backup that you made. That's probably the easiest and most foolproof. Okay, Tony, thanks for your time, and keep up the good work. Back to you, Pete. This is N2MH.
Thank you for your questions. Excellent questions, Mark. Mark in New Jersey with some very interesting questions, and thanks for the answers, Tony. I was just looking up for the fun of it. I looked up the price of the embedded node before at $699 US, and I thought, the micro node, micro, that sounds small. I figured that's probably a lot cheaper. But they're actually $1,195, so a little bit more. But they sound pretty cool. Integrated IRLP EchoLink embedded system, ultra compact, only 7 inches by 7 inches by 2.5 inches, complete with IRLP interface, CentOS 4.8 Linux, and Micronode software package pre-installed, yours for under $1,200. I think I'd get one just because it looks so cool, but I invite you guys to go have a look on there. Just a Google Micronode IRLP, you did say they cost more. I just didn't know it was that much more. I thought maybe you meant $705. But anyways, all right, with that, we'll see if anybody has any more questions. Welcome to South Cars TNT. We're talking to Tony, VK3JED, and we're taking questions on IRLP and IRLP-related subjects. Come on aboard.
W2P.
Okay, I didn't pick up the complete call. I got W2P. Come on aboard with your questions and your full call time, please.
Good evening. I probably didn't push my button soon enough. I have a habit of that. November Whiskey 2 Papa, NW2P. And got a question for Tony related to Echo IRLP. We're currently running an older node, which is running the Fedora Core 3. The club is in process of building a new node, which will be running CentOS. Does it matter which we incorporate Echo IRLP in, and is there any significant problems to doing either one?
No. Echo IRLP should run on any node from Red Hat 7.3 onwards. There are known incompatibilities with Red Hat 6.2 and older, but it should run with 7.3 and newer. However, CentOS will be fine. CentOS runs, everything works perfectly. On older nodes, you may have trouble with installing the dependencies because the Yum repositories are no longer around for Red Hat 9 and most of the Fedoras. So, while Echo IRLP itself will be okay, you might have trouble installing the dependencies, which is basically Make and the GCCC compiler are the dependencies. And that's more because the Yum repositories aren't around. You can hunt around the RPMs for those on the net and install them, and then the installation process will work perfectly. But for old systems, that's a bit more of a manual process. Back to you.
Real good. I thank you. And it sounds like all week till we have our new machine up and running. Appreciate that. And next question, totally unrelated. What is next week's TNT
about? I think that's one for Pete. Over to you, Pete. VU2XBL, VK3JED.
Yeah, Roger, I was going to wait till the end, but we're getting close to the end, the official end anyways. We're at 21:50 Eastern Time. We'll be wrapping it up in terms of recording anyhow in the official session at 10 p.m., of course, and you're more than welcome, all of you, to stick around and chat. And Tony, if you want to stick around, you're welcome to do so as well, of course. Next week's topic is actually we're going to be trying something new. It's going to be an open forum, and you guys will have to tune in to see what that's all about. But basically, we'll be discussing various topics and not just one. So a little bit of a hint there for you as to what is going to be going on. And in the coming weeks, we have several presentations, and you're hearing me leafing through my paperwork here so that I can scramble and get that information for you guys. On October 8th, of course, we have Communicating with Satellites with Your HT with Clint, K6LCS. On the 15th of October, we'll be talking about Echolink 101, so just the basics of Echolink setups with our very own KY6V. So with that, we'll see if we have any more questions. Any more questions for Tony on IRLP or related subjects?
Six, Victor.
Come on aboard, Gordon.
I was afraid to do that because I'm afraid you're going to send me a bill for asking too many questions tonight. And I love the way that you handle that. You know, it's like the broadcasters, the television guys. You know, you take a series right up to a crucial point, and then you end it and you say, stay tuned for the next issue. And so you have to tune in the next time to find out how the blooming thing ended. Two quick questions, Tony. What's the cost on a dongle? I think it's about $200. Am I correct? You guys, you and Mike, are going to force me to do this because I'm getting interested talking about D-Star. The second question... Well, I don't know. Let me hang on the first question first. I assume that the dongle gives you both-way transmission and receive. What keeps a Renegade like you and Mike and I from mixing the audio and dumping it onto Echolink or IRLP? That's question number one. Question number two on Echo IRLP. Am I correct in my understanding that it's either one or the other, but not both simultaneously? In other words, the program will allow you to use the Echolink side or the IRLP side, but you can't mix them. Is that correct, Tony? Over.
Yeah, you got that 100% good on the Echo IRLP. That's not just how it works. That's actually one of the design features of Echo IRLP. Just to... avoid a bit of confusion. It came up in the net that Mike took part in a few weeks ago. There's no IRLP mode or Echolink mode. The system is idle. When the system's idle, it'll accept connection from either system, or you can make a connection to either system, but once the connection's established, if it's IRLP, you can't connect to anything else anyway, and if an Echolink station, Echolink or IRLP station attempts to connect while you're on an IRLP connection, they'll get a busy signal. If it's an Echolink connection that's in progress, it gets a little bit more complicated. IRLP sees a busy signal. Echolink, if you have it configured to allow conferencing, then any further Echolink connections will be accepted without question up to the limit of how many you've defined as your conference limit. Sort of emulate the behaviour of a regular Echolink node with conferencing enabled. So that's that. As for your other question, I'll just let everything reset. Yeah, as for the dongle question, I don't know if you saw my surcharge for off-topic questions there, Gordon. But, yeah, there are mechanisms. I do know of at least a couple of dongles that were banned from the D Plus network because people were doing things they shouldn't have been. The DV dongle software does keep track of things like serial number, call sign pairings, and if there's complaints against you, your dongle can be taken off the network, and basically that dongle then becomes a very expensive paperweight until that block is cleared. KY6V to K3JD.
Okay. Elaborate a little bit further. D-Star doesn't want to hear any Echolink audio and vice versa. Is that it? Over.
Again, like the Echolink and IRLP situation, it's one of these matters. You've got to remember that what ham radio is, how it's structured in terms of who owns what, and basically every piece of equipment on the ham radio circuit is owned by either an individual or a club. Whether that piece of equipment's the radio I'm talking to you on, whether it's the node I'm using, whether it's the reflector we're using. Each piece of equipment is owned by someone, and each of those people expects to be able to say who can do what or can't do what on that piece of equipment within regulatory limits, of course. The reason I say within regulatory limits is I can't, for instance, make my repeater a closed repeater because that would be illegal here. The problem with previous D-Star experimentation is that basic principle of the administrators of gateways and reflectors has the final say was violated, and that's what caused a lot of this bad blood. Same thing happened between IRLP and Echolink, but we managed to diffuse it over time, and hopefully the same D-Star, it'll diffuse over time too. Like I have with one of my D-Star reflector channels, I do allow, providing you contact me first with a proposal, I will allow on one of the channels non-D-Star traffic. So yeah, it gets into ownership and rights and stuff like that. It's more of a social issue than anything. KY6V VK3JED.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. Totally understand, sir. Back to you, Pete. 58 minutes into the hour, sir. KY6V.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Thank you for being there. Appreciate your questions. No, there's not too many questions. Come on in any time, of course. The discussion is, I like the way it's going. It's been very interesting so far. I'll finish off the official part of the net with more of a preference questions to Tony. I'm just wondering, out of Echolink or IRLP, well, I kind of already know the answers, which he prefers, and I'm just wondering if he could come up with is there any advantages that he sees for one or the other, or for using both, in your opinion, of course, and it's just an opinion. So over to you, Tony, for final comments.
Short and lazy answer, both. Longer and more complicated answer, it depends. How do you like that, Pete? The reason I say it depends in what context. The one thing I will say is I tend to prefer using a radio, whether that's with Echolink or IRLP. The reason I prefer the radio is I like to throw RF around. I mean, we're hams, we like to throw RF around. However, the PC mode, like today being a classic example, is a very, very useful tool, and there are times where it's the appropriate mode to use, like being able to use the onboard timers so I don't time out everyone's repeaters if I get carried away. One of the main reasons I got on the PC for the majority of the presentation. Of course, the other reason I'm hooked in with an Echolink client is to do this for those looking in the text box. So as you can see, I do use both. However, when it comes to playing around with the systems, as in tinkering, definitely IRLP, and the reason is IRLP is once you get to know how it's designed, how it's put together, it's so incredibly easy to basically toy around with and change how it behaves, and it's incredibly versatile. So it's a the real tinkerer's paradise. Echolink does have its comm interface, but to use a comm interface, you have to be a programmer, at least to the point of VBScript, which I've dabbled in, but I haven't spent enough time with to really do anything useful. Whereas with IRLP, if you can write DOS batch files, it's just a small step up from batch files to shell scripts. And yeah, you can really do anything with shell scripts, just about. Throw in third-party software like the bridge and the link box, and the sky's the limit. As I said, I've redesigned the reflectors mostly through shell scripts with the addition of the bridge and the link box. And this system, again, the same thing, with the addition of the extra binaries and a heap of scripting, does all sorts of things that they've never dreamed. VE2XBL, VK3JED.
Yeah, roger that. Well, you see, you managed to turn a philosophical question into a techie question again. I was just wondering, what does the interface look like? Like, what is it when you look at it? Is it a Windows-based environment? And I don't mean PC Windows, but are there different Windows? Or is it more of a DOS kind of environment where you're putting in your different command lines? Or how does it physically look? Over.
Well, for most people, for users, your interface is your radio. HT, mobile with a DTMF keypad. That's what we call the real user interface of IRLP. But for the node owner, no fancy GUIs, although there is a web-based admin console. So there is a web-based console that's installed on newer nodes. You can access over your local area network via the web, or you can have access over the internet if you forward the port that the interface is listing on. I've never used it, to be honest. I do everything at the command line, usually by remote over secure shell, but yeah, just like the old DOS days, the command line, but again, once you get to know it, the sky's the limit.
Oh, that's what I wanted to know. Excellent. Old school. Yeah, Mike says old school. I'll invite Mike in here for a few final thoughts or comments if you care to do so. Mike, KB8ZGL, come on board and give us your 2 cents.
Well, thanks, Pete. I don't have a lot more. I've been listening along, and the questions have been fantastic, and Tony's done a great job of answering them, and I didn't mean to startle the net tonight or take anything away from him. I have a little bit of playing I'm doing in the background, but stay tuned. If we do have a D-Star topic, or at some point if people want to know more, for me offhand, but we there's things that we're working on within the legalities and the politics of the D-Star world to try to get South Car as a D-Star channel as well, and that's something that Gordon's $200 would be well spent for. I think there's a great place for it and a great way to include it with all of this that we're doing, and fantastic job tonight to both of you. Thanks for inviting me in. Back to you, Pete. V2XPL, KBAZGL from D-Star.
Yeah, you guys can't. Some of you guys can't see the text box, but Tony just put in, Mike just wants to play with his dongle. I'll just leave that alone there. No, thanks. Au contraire, Mike, you're not taking away. You were adding. I look at it as adding to a great topic. I mean, you guys have the knowledge, and we appreciate you guys sharing that. So, yeah, this has been South Cars TNT with our two guests, Tony, VK3JED, and Mike, KB8ZGL, jumping in there to help out. So that's really cool. We appreciate both you guys having been here. We'd like to thank the, let's say, I had a maximum of 23 stations connected at one time, but there's a lot more than that altogether. And we have 12 stations who connected or who checked in, sorry. Just 19 questions, 19 excellent questions. So thanks to everybody for participating. With that, just a few quick announcements. I'd like to get you guys' input. If you guys could send us your suggestions for topics of discussion for the open forum, anything you might be interested in, any and all topics submitted will be considered for discussion. Also, if you have a skill or a topic that you'd like to share with us, you can be one of our guest speakers on the TNT Open Forum. So just send us an email at voip@southcars.com. Of course, all the details for this and other nets, other great nets during the week, can be found at www.voip.southcars.com. Like I said, next week's topic, October 1st, will be the Open Forum, where we'll be discussing a few different topics in a different style, so we'll be trying that out. So we welcome everybody. We hope you'll join us in huge quantities of numbers of people to be with us, and we'll have some fun. So, yeah, we promise to entertain, promise to have fun, and we promise to inform, of course. So once again, thanks to our guests for being here. We will be sticking around. At least I'll be sticking around for a few more minutes. If you guys want to keep chatting, that's fine. This has been Pete, Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima in Montreal, where it's less than 16 degrees now. It's a little bit cool. Still a pleasant evening. So we'll say 73s for now. Please join us next week. And once again, thanks to Tony and Mike. And 73s, everyone. See you next week.
What follows is a continuation of the discussion between Mike and Tony.
Yeah, thanks for a good net, Pete. And, I'm not going to stick around. I'm going to have to disappear fairly quick today. But Mike, I'm very interested in what you're doing. I want to get playing behind the scenes. Since I have systems and I can play and they're all co-located. Although, of course, any D-Star transcoding is going to have to come back here because this is where, because the dongle's here. KB8ZGL, VK3JED.
Yeah, very good, Tony. Well, we're having fun. I took advantage of you having the presentation to play around in the background and get this all working. So it's probably something. It's a little interesting the way I've got it all set up right now. I've got the South Cars connected over to D-Star Reflector 004 Alpha, which, as you know, much like you control 023, I control 004, so I made sure the channel was clear and we weren't going to bother anybody. And then I connected it in there using a dongle. And then I have the DB node connected over there as well. And I want to make it a little cleaner, though, and take one of those steps out of the process. That's what I'm really trying to figure out, is how to eliminate one piece of software for another option. But if you're going to be around tomorrow, around this time, I'll be listening here and on my reflector, and I'll stop by yours or something. We can catch up on Skype ahead of time or whatnot and discuss all the ins and outs, but it's kind of fun. That's what I thought I'd take advantage of the night and listening to you and play around in the background. That's how it goes, you know. KBZGL.
Yeah, not a problem, Mike. Yeah, well, unfortunately, even at the best of times, tomorrow, Saturday, I'm in weekend mode. In fact, this time tomorrow, I would normally be just arriving back from the Saturday morning run. Would be doing a quick trip down the mark and hopefully get back in time to watch a grand final of the footy, of course, which is a religious occasion here, you could say. last Saturday in September is sort of a major religious event down here. AFL Grand Final, look it up. Wikipedia's got something about it, I'm sure. But would be interested in what you're doing. Yeah, see if I can emulate something similar here on 23 Alpha. I tend to take a holistic approach. I'll also look at the security models because by hooking that up to SCARS, you could potentially create headaches for the likes of John FELA. Unless you can lock out specific D-star systems, i.e. anything starting with VK. so you could cause all sorts of headaches. Won't talk about it now. At the best of times, I'd be pretty much thin on the ground for the weekend, but this week I'll be probably thin on the ground until the start of week after next. Email and Skype, text messaging during that time are the best ways to catch me. KB8ZGL, VK3JED.
Well, very good, Tony. Yeah, I definitely understand the potentials after our conversation last week and some of the pitfalls that we could run into. I'm watching very closely right now to make sure there's nobody else on the Reflector 004 Alpha, or I would boot it off. The only one there right now is me, so I'm just keeping a real close eye on it. But I'd definitely like to explore the security models with you. That's something we need to do. So I will look that up because I am not aware of what it is. Sounds like fun. Have a great time, and I know how to get a hold of you, so we'll catch up soon. I know you got to run for now, but we'll catch up, and I'll explain how I've got it currently laid out, and we can look at the security model and figure out how to make this work a little more long-term. That's kind of the plan, but you're right on the pitfalls. I'm watching the web real close to make sure we don't cause any problems. But have fun this weekend. It sounds like a good time. I'm going to be mostly playing radio all weekend. I don't have a lot planned besides the softball tournament, so. But we'll talk about it. That's what we do, and we'll figure out how to make it better all the time. KB8ZGL. Back to you, Tony.
Yeah, we may even have to start working closely with Robin, see if he can put some external event hooks in the reflector software, so. Yeah, when a station connects, we can then have a script that goes through, grips the call sign. Yeah, so basically, then I can literally lock out anything that starts with VK when I've got a non-D star system connected. And it'd be nice if we could make his software able to do what the IRLP integrated conferences do. But that depends on him putting in event hooks in his code. So they can call scripts when stations connect and disconnect and when other important events happen. We'll talk about that later. As I said, I will have to disappear. So for probably about the next 8 or 9 days, email or Skype text messages are the way to catch me. I'm not sure whether I'll make the SCARS nets next week even. They will be very much played by ear. KB8ZGL,
VK3JED. Well, sounds good, Tony. Well, we know how to catch up with you, and we'll make sure to do that. There's the other big pitfall here, too, which is that anything that comes out from IRLP or Echo, Link on the D-Star, on the call sign side, comes out under my dongle call sign. That's the other big piece in there. That's one other piece that threw a lot of people and caused a lot of issues that we've got to examine. But there's no good way to pass an RF call sign only out onto the D-Star, so it's kind of going to come from the dongle. But we won't hold it up with that. We definitely should, we've been talking about it for a while and need to continue on those conversations and see where we can land. But I agree, we really want to work with Robin and do it within the confines of what's appropriate, so that's the plan. But, good. Well, it sounds like you're going to be busy for a while, but I'll catch you on Skype certainly and on email for sure. I watch all your multiple replies for anybody that's still listening. If you send stuff to the IRLP and Echo IRLP Yahoo groups, Tony's almost always the first to respond, and fantastic in his responses as he was tonight, and it's been a big help to many, many people along their journeys in this realm. So there's your little good plug for tonight too, Tony. Or morning for you. KB8, let's go.
Okay, Mike. Well, look forward to hearing how you're going and how you're doing it and all of that. Yeah, I'm, as you know, I'm very interested. I always like to play, and I like, it's a life goal. A little secret, sort of a story of my life is to make things talk to others, and the less they were designed to talk to each other, the more interested I'm in to making them talk to each other. So, this what you're doing sort of right up my alley. Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, you and I think alike in that realm. So I'll give you a little hint of what I'm hoping the plan is anyways, and that is the G4 ULF software for the DV node adapter integrating with Echo IRLP. That is the path I have somewhat started down a little bit. Since that software has the D-plus and the trust server approval, and is all Linux-based, while it doesn't help the dongle users, all the abilities and hooks are in that software, and David Lake is a very, very informative and helpful guy and a good Linux guy, and that's where I'm my current angle. So there's something for you, a teaser for you. KVA's VK3JD, KVA's FGL.
Yeah, David sounds like a pretty good sort of bloke. Sounds a bit like another Skip, WB6YMH, of course. Quite a significant part of what's in the bridge and the link box is due to my tinkerings with EchoLink and Echo IRLP and IRLP itself. Skip's another one of those brilliant, you know, sort of, he's not just a good coder, he's also someone who has a very open ear, open to suggestion. That sounds like it could be the way to go. Unfortunately, I don't have a node adapter. I know that you can get kits from Fred over in the Netherlands from Dutchstar, which I just really, funds are just way too tight at the moment. So I do want to go down that. That's the route I want to go down is node adapter and sending up a D-Star system here. Not sure I'll be able to do a full-blown D-Star repeater. Unless I convert one of my... I've got a spare 70-centimetre allocation I'm not using, unless I convert that to D-Star, which is a possibility. I could think about doing that, the advantage of that one is I probably won't even have to re-chain the cavities because the cavities are already chained for that pair. I think if I look at what you're doing, I'd probably come up with a method to. To either simplify it or bring in new functionality. Like one thing you could do, and this will particularly benefit the EchoLink PC users, you could take a principle of closest origin call sign and transport the call sign that EchoLink sees at the far end of the link across to D-Star. Where it's valid, when it's not a conference, in other words. So you might get STN6390 comes across and stuff like that. There's possibilities. Peter look like VK2XPL Space L, for instance, if he come up from his link. That's just thinking out loud at the moment there, Mike, but you can see how I approach things.
Well, you're right on what some of the discussions that I've had in the background. You're right on what we were kind of thinking possibly as a solution to that. You got it. It's just working to get the hooks in both sets of software. And we even went as far as considering the ability of the DRAT text on the D-Star side to transport over to the EchoLink text box and back and forth. Of course, none of that is written yet. That's all theoretical at this point, but you're right on it. That's I'll hit you offline, but I may have a node adapter all built and ready to go with the radio cables that I can ship you. We acquired an extra one through an accident, and... I may be able to ship it your way because I know it'd be well used. And if needs a newer version of the pick potentially, but it's in good shape and it works fine. And the other thing that we, on your repeater there, the first analog D-Star dual mode repeater is built now with a DV node and standard analog. And while it doesn't coexist perfectly, they do have it coexisting, and they've trained the users to know when it's on analog, and there's some features in the D-Star radios that know when analog audio is present. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on, but I'll get you what I know, and I'll write up a little email tomorrow when I have some spare time and ship it your way on where I'm at and who I've talked with, and we'll bring you into the, what I'd like to do is get us both talking with David Lake, and specifically get you talking to David Lake, and him and I have had great, great conversations, and if I get you in there, we'll knock this thing out, and we'll figure out the legalities, and then make this fun for everybody.
Yeah, I might sound like a plan. I mean, I'll keep us posted, drop us that email when you get a chance. I'm always on email when I'm not working out or doing other things. I'm pretty much, as you know, I'm pretty easy to get on email. So that's a good method. Yeah, David sounds like sort of guy we want to work with. Very open to suggestion, and seems like you guys and I are thinking pretty much on the same page. All good there, Mike. Certainly interested to know more. And radio I'm talking on, this Kenwood, I have seen information on the DV node page on how to hook it up. Just got to get one of the mini DIN connectors for it. But I could use this Kenwood in 9600 mode for the RF side without too much trouble. Even before I get all the experimental stuff, well, I've got two things I can do. One is I can help Fred test his new firmware. I'll be able to use D-Star more effectively. The long term, of course, is I want to get some of this link stuff happening. Dual mode repeater sound is interesting. I'd convert mine to a dual mode, except I've got to find a new transmitter or modify the transmitter I've got for True FM, because the transmitter's phase modulated. The receiver's actually, the receiver's probably perfect for dual mode. It's I've got the discriminator output available. It's the transmitter that lets me down. KV8DGL, VK3JED.
Yeah, that all sounds great, so I thought I'd give a second there in case anybody wanted to jump out or jump in. And, I will write up everything I know, and with all the links I've got and who I've been talking with, I'll get that all written up tomorrow. It's probably good anyways, and make sure that you have that information and get you to speed on what I've done and what I know, and I'll also find out about getting that node shipped off, and I'll pop you an email to make sure I've got address and everything right, and find out what it takes to make that happen. And it's already got the cable on it with the DIN ready to go. It was hooked up to the Yaesu 7800. I think it's the same pinout as the Kenwood. I just don't know if you'll have to change the jumper on it, but you can do that. And as long as you've got a pick burner, you can get your hands on whatever firmware you want or whatever you want to put in it. That's always been my problem, is I don't have a good way. I always have to have somebody do the picks for me, but it's been working out great, and it's a lot of fun. It's nice to have just be standing here on the porch on an Icon 92AD, and it's steerable and, connected over here, and it's a lot of fun. So we'll get to I'll get you my extra parts so you can play. Might take a little while, but we'll get it to you. VK3JD, KVASGL.
Yeah, Mike, sounds good. Thanks for that. And, the other thing I can do is I'm, as you know, I'm on pretty good terms with Skip, WB6YMH. I know you talked to him too, but, I often have real-time chats with Skip on Skype. So, yeah, if you know, I'm sure I can help explain stuff to him. Yeah, we Skip and I often get on Skype and have chats when his paid work's quiet, and we talk about the bridge and the link box and different features and bugs and yeah, sometimes we go for, you know, an hour or more just typing away. So I think finally we're seeing some people that are basically following the route that I was suggesting a year ago. It's up on the same blog that I posted the information about the Reflect. You'll see in some of the earlier posts from November last year about working D-Star and the legacy modes together. And I love the idea of integrating D-Rats with a text box. Yeah, I think there's potential there. Probably need to have some fancy buffering in the middle because the final RF channel is not full duplex, unlike the Echolink text box. So it's probably going to need to be some clever buffering at various points in the chain too. That can sort of cue stuff and send it when the traffic's flowing in the right direction for people running D-Rats on RF. That thought crossed my mind as well, especially after having played with D-Rats on the dongle in recent times and seeing how it hangs together. Anyway, I better go, but keep in touch and looking forward. And in case you're wondering, I am good on QRZ, KB8ZGL, VK3JED.
All right, Tony. Well, that sounds excellent. I'll pull that address tomorrow and get that in the works. And you're right on some of the buffering. There's definitely stuff that's got to be worked out, although I've been following, Planet DRS on dongle, too, and that's where was some of that conversations and some of those thoughts. And I pointed a lot of people at your blog entry about doing this so that they could... it's well written and there's a lot of understanding. So if anybody's interested in understanding more, the VK3JD blog, definitely. There's a good post on there about D-Star and EchoIRLP and putting them together, no question about it. So, well, we won't hold you up anymore, Tony, but we'll be talking soon, as always, and lots of fun. New stuff always happening. I've got a whole other project we've been working on, too, that I kind of got sidetracked on, but I got to tell you about sometime. I know it's a little bit of a tease, but criticalrf.com, if you are so inclined. There's some neat stuff out, some neat clients for smartphones and different things that I started working on, too. VK3JD, KBA.GL.
Yeah, good, Mike. Sound like more fun to come. Yeah, we could probably go all day, but I bet not. I better pull out of here, go off and do other things, and we'll certainly keep in touch, interested in what's going on. Hopefully we've got a mailing list or a group where you guys are discussing stuff. I find CC'd emails, particularly for long-term archivals, get a bit tedious compared to a mailing list, for instance. Yeah, because I got to get the filtering right with, it's a lot hard to get filtering right with CC'd emails. If you're not organised, maybe we have to too. sort of go down the EchoIRLP track. Let's make history repeat itself. The last one was a success. Let's hope this one is. And I guess I've been teasing you for the last couple of weeks, so I'll have to take it now. All right, 7-3, and we'll look forward to seeing your email, KB8ZGLVK3JED.
Sounds good. Very good. I'll get that all put together tomorrow, and mostly it's been direct emails between Dave and I on some of the ideas, but I think if we were to pull, maybe a group with you and I and Skip and David would be an excellent thing, and kind of like we did with Robin for a while, and That would be good. I'll talk to David about that tomorrow, too. Since he's going into his weekend, we'll see if what kind of time he's got. And if he wants to pop some emails, I know you'll be busy, but you can catch up as time allows. Enjoy your weekend. 7-3s, and I'll be around. If anybody wants to chat, I'll be here on the reflector for another hour before I get a hit the sack. KBA-ZGL.
It is Mike 7-3, KBA-ZGL, VK-3JD. Of course, I'll still be floating around on Skype, text messaging and email, but yeah, I'm going to pull the plug on the radio. Cheers, VK-3JD. Clear. Have a good one, and look forward to your email.
Thanks a lot for being there, Tony. Appreciate it. We'll chat very soon from VE2XPL in Montreal.
And there you have it, Pete. You're you're watching the experiment, or seeing the experimenters at work. Cheers, VE2XPL, VK3JD.
Yeah, roger that. No, I listen with great, great interest, and I'm sure I'll be harassing you guys with lots of questions in the weeks and months that follow. All right, have a great weekend. Like I said, we'll chat soon. 7-3, this is V2XPL in Montreal. Is monitoring.
It is all V2XPL, VK3JED. Clear also. Cheers.